Exodus chapter 16, verses 13 through 31. This is the reading of God's word. So it came about at evening that the quails came up and covered the camp. And in the morning, there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the layer of dew evaporated, behold, on the surface of the wilderness, there was a fine flake-like thing, fine as the frost on the ground. When the sons of Israel saw it, they said to one another, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, "It is the bread which the Lord has given to you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Gather of it every man as much as he should eat. You shall take an omer, a piece, according to the number of persons each of you has in his tent." The sons of Israel did so, and some gathered much and some little. When they measured it with an omer, he who had gathered much had no excess, and he who had gathered little had no lack. Every man gathered as much as he should eat. Moses said to them, "Let no man leave any of it until morning." But they did not listen to Moses, and some left part of it until morning, and it bred worms and became foul. And Moses was angry with them. They gathered it morning by morning, every man as much as he should eat, but when the sun grew hot, it would melt. Now on the sixth day, they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for each one. When all the leaders of the congregation came and told Moses, then he said to them, "This is what the Lord meant. Tomorrow is a Sabbath observance, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake and boil what you will boil, and all that is left over, put aside to be kept until morning." So they put it aside until morning, as Moses had ordered, and it did not become foul, nor was there any worm in it. Moses said, "Eat it today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will be none." It came about on the seventh day that some of the people went out to gather, but they found none. Then the Lord said to Moses, "How long do you refuse to keep my commandments and my instructions? See, the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore, he gives you bread for 2 days. On the sixth day, remain every man in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day." So the people rested on the seventh day. The house of Israel named it manna, and it was like coriander seed, white, and its taste was like wafers with honey. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. Oh Father, we pray that you will grant us an ear to hear your word, that we may hear your loving voice telling us about Jesus Christ through your word. Let us meet your Son through your word and have fellowship with him even as we hear your word. And through your word, let us also see what your Son has done and what he has accomplished for us. And let us rejoice. For your Son, Jesus Christ, has saved us from sin and from this world and made us your people, your sons. We give you all the glory, honor, and power. We thank you and we love you. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We saw this story last time, but let us continue. God gave manna But the Bible clearly tells us why God gave manna. God gave manna to make the Israelites understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by the word of God. So as he gives this manna every single day, so that people don't have to worry about what to eat, what to wear, but focus on God. But as you saw last time, that their focus was actually on manna itself. They lived as though they are never saved. They actually want to go back to Egypt. They thoroughly live their lives according to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life. Their focus is on this world. They do not trust God, and they test God. Our Lord Jesus Christ was tested in the wilderness, and we see that in Matthew chapter 4. Satan says, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. Jesus answers, it is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. But the Israelites live their lives as though they live on the earthly bread alone, that's what they live on. Satan then takes Jesus into the holy city and has him stand on the pinnacle of the temple. Satan says, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answers, on the other hand, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. But the Israelites, they test God. Psalm 78, verse 17 through 25, speaking of the Exodus event, it says, yet they still continued to sin against God, to rebel against the Most High in the desert. And in their heart, they put God to the test by asking food according to their desire. Then they spoke against God. They said, can God prepare a table in the wilderness? Behold, he struck the rock so that waters gushed out and streams were overflowing. Can he give bread also? Will he provide meat for his people? Therefore the Lord heard and was full of wrath, and a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also mounted against Israel, because they did not believe in God and did not trust in his salvation. Yet he commanded the clouds above and opened the doors of heaven. He rained down manna upon them to eat and gave them food from heaven. Man did eat the bread of angels. He sent them food in abundance. They tested God. Now in Matthew chapter 4, Satan takes Jesus to a very high mountain and shows him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. Satan says, all these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me. Jesus answers, go, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. But the Israelites, they betrayed God and served themselves. They want the kingdoms of this world and their glory. And this is how the sinners are. And this is how we were. But our Lord Jesus Christ saved us out of all that. He, in our places, triumphed over all the temptation of Satan. Even if God sends all of them, all of those Israelites to hell right there, and then they would have nothing to say. We have nothing to say. But God is faithful in His promises. He pours out His grace upon them. He gives them manna, the heavenly food. But there's another issue. Verse 19. Moses said to them, "Let no man leave any of it until morning. Do not collect more than what you need. Do not worry about tomorrow. Daily, they are to depend on God and God alone. Daily, they are to trust God and Him alone." But they didn't. Verse 20, "But they did not listen to Moses, and some left part of it until morning, and he bred worms and became foul, and Moses was angry with them." And another issue, and that is the topic of today's sermon. Verse 22, "Now on the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, 2 omers for each one." Verse 23 and 24, Moses tells them, "This is what the Lord meant. Tomorrow is a Sabbath observance, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake and boil what you will boil, and all that is left over put aside to be kept until morning." You notice that Moses said, "Do not put aside until morning in all these other days." But on sixth day, he actually says, put some aside until the morning. So you gather what you need on seventh day, on sixth day. So they put it aside until morning as Moses had ordered, and it did not become foul, nor was there any worm in it. And if we continue verses 25 through 26, Moses said, "Eat it today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will be none." But what happened? Verse 27, "It came about on the seventh day that some of the people went out together, but they found none." They continued to live according to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life. God gives manna every day, but on the sixth day, He gives double. And on the seventh day, He gives none. He gives food for Sabbath on the sixth day. We need to understand what is the Sabbath and what is the meaning of Sabbath. And we will deal with this in more detail when we deal with it, when we look at the Ten Commandments in chapter 20. But today, let us try to understand what is Sabbath and what's the meaning of Sabbath. Exodus 31, this is where we begin. Exodus 31. Verses 12 through 17. "The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'But as for you, speak to the sons of Israel, saying, you shall surely observe my Sabbaths. For this is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. Therefore, you are to observe the Sabbath, for it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall surely put to death. For whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among his people. For 6 days work may be done, but on the seventh day there is a Sabbath of complete rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day shall surely be put to death. So the sons of Israel shall observe the Sabbath to celebrate the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the sons of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and the earth, but on the seventh day he ceased from labor and was refreshed. So the sons of Israel shall observe the Sabbath to celebrate the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between God and the sons of Israel forever. It is a covenant sign. One that does not observe the Sabbath is a covenant breaker. And he is to be cut off from among God's people. He shall surely be put to death. Now, you know, how much does God hate his people breaking some of his commandments? How can we tell how much he hates it? Well, we could tell by the punishment that he gives out. It is so bad to God that when you break the Sabbath, you are to be put to death. Now, obviously, we don't do that these days. Thank God we don't do that. But observing the Sabbath still applies to us today. Just like committing adultery. In the Old Testament, when you commit adultery, then what was the punishment? They are to stone you to death. Now, these days, when someone commits adultery in our church, we don't stone him or her to death. Does that mean that in the New Testament, now it's okay to commit adultery because we don't kill? Just like it, just because we do not put to death a person who commits sin, breaking the Sabbath, does that mean it's okay now? And you need to understand how much God hates it. You know, this church will be very few church who would even teach you this these days. It's how sad Christianity has become. The pastors dare not say, do not profane the Sabbath. They dare not say it. And they themselves go out and profane Sabbath. This is how pathetic Christianity has become. We don't care what Bible says. We don't care what God says. We just do whatever we want. And if enough people don't want to do it, then church, they shut up. I became a pastor to preach God's word. And I need to preach God's word. And whenever I preach, I don't think about, oh, if I say this, then that person will be angry. If I say that, then that person will be angry. I don't do that. My job is not worrying about who's going to get angry. My job is to preach the word of God. And enough people get angry and they all leave, then what can I do? Then God telling me to stop. And we stop. It's a covenant sign. Now, what do the Israelites witness as they observe the Sabbath? What are they saying when they're observing the Sabbath? Well, that God and God alone is their Lord and Savior and the Creator. They witness their faith in God. They witness that they do not live by their works, but they live by God who provides everything that they need. Their rest, their Sabbath, their not working. And by enjoying God on the Sabbath, they also witness the eternal rest that is to come, the heavenly rest, the rest from the world. The rest from sin. You need to understand the work came into history because of sin. This does not mean that man did not work before sin came in, but because of sin, now it says, by the sweat of your face you will eat bread, in toil you will eat of it. Thus the rest from work, the Sabbath, points to the eternal rest of heaven. That is the rest from sin and from the world. And here, let me note, I'm not saying that now work is all bad, just because, you know, because of sin, now in toil, in sweat, we have to eat. I'm not saying that work is bad. Of course, in Christ, the work is good because we work for the glory of God. But all the worldly work, you will rest from it when you get to heaven. And we are to witness that reality on this holy day. The Israelites are commanded not to work on the Sabbath. Isaiah 58 verse 13, if because of the Sabbath you turn your foot from doing your own pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and honor it, desisting from your own ways, from seeking your own pleasure, and speaking your own word. That's the principle. They are commanded not to seek their own pleasure on the Sabbath. They are to consider Sabbath a delight, an honorable day. And this principle continues into New Testament Sabbath, the Lord's Day. Even though we observe a different day, Saturday, to now the Lord's Day, the principle that applies to both are the same. Why? Because both days point to the eternal rest, the heavenly rest. So here's principle. You turn your foot from doing your own pleasure. That is why we don't go see movies, or we don't go out and seeking our own pleasure on this holy day. So no recreation on this holy day. Because it's Lord's Day. We spend all day focusing on our Lord, Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not going to tell you what you should do or what you should not do, because it's not about legalistic obedience. It's about your heart. Yeah, so I'm not, you know, saying, oh, you should not do that or you should do that. I mean, I could tell you what I don't do, but that's just me. But the principle applies to you and to me the same way. Now, both days point to the eternal rest. In the Old Testament, it pointed to the eternal rest that is to be accomplished. It was not accomplished. Jesus did not come yet. But in the New Testament, it points to the eternal rest that is already accomplished. Jesus came, and that eternal rest is accomplished already. Jesus was resurrected on the Lord's Day to signal to us that the eternal reality is now accomplished. Thus, we now observe that day, the Lord's Day, or to the secular people, Sunday, to witness already accomplished reality of heaven. So Lord's Day is the first day of the week. Just like the creation began from the first day, the new creation begins from the Lord's Day, first day. Brothers and sisters, Sunday is not the weekend. I tell you this so many times. See, world calls Sunday weekend. It comes at the end of the week. No, it's the beginning of the week. It's the first day of the week. And most of calendar is set up like that. It's the very first day of the week, but now the world wants to change that. Put it at the back and call it weekend. No, Bible teaches us that it is the first day of the week. And that's what today is. You know, just because we don't work, we have this understanding, oh, you know, this is a weekend. Tomorrow the week begins. No. Today the week begins. This is the Christian thinking. Now, God created the whole universe in 6 days and rested on the seventh day. Now, you need to understand the rest. What is this rest? Well, God's rest is not from exhaustions. He did not rest because he was tired from creating the universe. Thus, rest is not physical rest, ultimately. The rest means he stopped from what he was doing in the previous 6 days. That's what rest means. He was doing something in those 6 days, and he stopped from doing that on the seventh day. It's not like he was so tired and he goes, okay, I need to rest, you know, and I need to go to sleep. And that's what you need to understand. First thing is this, that in that 7 days, you know, it is God who gave us this 7 day pattern. Hey, everybody follows it. 7 day pattern. But it is God who gave us that. You read Genesis 1, and that's what he did. Now, in that 7 days, we have the whole pattern of the history of the world. It shows there is the beginning, but it also shows that there is the end, the seventh day. The end is the end of all things in the previous 6 days. So whatever that goes on in previous 6 days, it ends on the seventh day. So that is the pattern of whole history. Everything that happens in the world will end when that eternal seventh day appears. History will end. The world will end. And you are to see from that seventh day rest the end of history. End of this world. Because the end of whole history is the eternal rest. the heavenly rest. When Jesus returns, that eternal rest will be visibly consummated. That's the end of the world. And you see that pattern in that 7-day pattern that God gave you. Every week, you are reminded of that. That the rest is coming. The end is coming. Now, just like if the history will end, the world will end, the end is eternal rest, heavenly rest. It is the end of all that is about this world. At the end, the world will be gone and the heavenly rest will come. Thus, we must realize that that end, that heavenly rest, is the purpose of all things. It is the end of all things. Everything that happens in this universe have the heavenly rest as the goal, the heavenly rest as the purpose. When that day comes, everything that you might thought that is important is done. It's finished. It's passed away. When all is done, then only heaven with its glory, heaven with its king and his people will remain. The pattern of God's people's lives in the Old Testament is this now. They live looking forward to that end. So the first day, second day, but they look forward to the seventh day, which was pointing to the heavenly rest. So their pattern is looking forward to that rest. But now in the New Testament, because of what our Lord Jesus Christ has done and accomplished, the Sabbath is already accomplished. The eternal rest is already accomplished, though not visible, not yet. Nevertheless, we now begin our week with the Sabbath and live the rest of the week in the reality of that. So the pattern has changed, but the meaning is the same. We're not just looking forward to that rest, we're actually enjoying that rest because Jesus Christ has accomplished it. But the meaning and the purpose are the same. The day has been changed and the pattern has been changed, but let me emphasize that both Sabbaths of the Old Testament and the Sabbath of the New Testament have the same meaning. Thus, all the principle that was applied to Old Testament Sabbath now also applies to New Testament Sabbath, the Lord's Day. Ezekiel chapter 20 verse 12 says, "Also I gave them my Sabbath to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord who sanctifies them." Now this is very important. God gave the Sabbath day so that people will know that God is the one who sanctifies them. Sanctification, the holiness. Now, what does that mean? It is the day in which the God's people are sanctified, meaning that they are to be set apart from the rest of the world. Being holy means what? To be set apart. So, Sabbath day is when it is clearly witnessed that God's people are set apart from the world. That we are different from the worldly people. That we have different purpose and we have different meaning. Yes, you are set apart from the world every day. But you are to show that you are the holy people of God as a corporate body of Christ. On this day, we do it together as a corporate body of Christ, as His church, which we cannot do Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday. Only on the Lord's Day we could do this as His church. In a visible manner, we are to show the world how set apart from the world we really are on this glorious Lord's Day. And guess what? Even as we worship right now, aren't we doing that? Just see how set apart you are from the world right now. That how you have come to God and worshiping Him. Completely set apart from the rest of the world. And we're doing this together as His church. Now, thus we do not do things that the rest of the world do on the Lord's Day. Because we have to show that we are set apart. You cannot do things that the world does today. Because if we do, then we're not showing that we are set apart. We're just same as the world then. Now, how can we witness that we are truly Christian? So many people have wrong idea how we could witness that we're Christian. You know, they say things like, let's say, you know, I would like to always use doctor as an example. So here again, hopefully there's no doctor in among us. But, you know, if you're a doctor, how are you going to witness that you're truly Christian? They say, well, you know, I will have compassion. I will have love. And I will not charge as much. You know, I will make it cheap. Or sometimes I will just do it for free. I will show that I'm Christian like that. And I say, no. Because I could go get a non-Christian doctor who love their patients, who will do cheaply, who will not even charge them. So how did you, Christian doctor, show that you're Christian, that you are set apart from the rest of doctor by doing that? How? Even non-Christian does it. Actually, non-Christian does it better than Christians. So no, you cannot witness that you are Christian by doing that kind of stuff. Because outwardly, non-Christian, they will do it too. Then how can you really show that you are a true Christian? It's worship and the Lord's Day. That's the only thing you could do. You really need to understand this. Because everything else you do, I could bring non-Christian who could do better than you. That's not how you could show that you're Christian. But by observing the Lord's Day and worshiping God on the Lord's Day, and that no non-Christian will do, but at least not willingly. That's it, you guys. You know, some people say, oh, I go to Harvard to show that I'm a Christian. No. You go to Harvard, there'll be more non-Christian there than Christian. You didn't show anything. Do you understand what I'm saying? And unless you understand this, you're going to be so confused living as a Christian in this world. So please, brothers and sisters, clearly witness that you are truly Christian by observing the Lord's Day and worshiping God on the Lord's Day. Because that's it. There is no other way. And as we observe the Lord's Day, the first day of the week, we witness that the reality of heavenly rest has been already accomplished, that the heavenly reality is our present spiritual reality. On the Lord's Day, we must witness how we do not belong to the world any longer. Jesus says, I have saved you out of the world and you do not belong to the world anymore. By observing the Lord's Day, that is what you witness. That you do not belong to the world. Whatever we do on the Lord's Day, or whatever we do not do on the Lord's Day, must witness our heavenly reality that our Lord has accomplished for us. We are to witness that we now belong to heaven. We, in a visible manner, live out the reality of heaven. We rest from the world. We rest from the works of the world. We witness that we do not live by them, but we live by God. We worship to live out the reality of heaven, because what is going on here in heaven right now is worshiping God. God's people are gathered unto God and worship God, and we witness in a visible manner that heavenly reality that is already accomplished for us. Do you see how we are witnessing our heavenly reality as we gather and worship our God right now? If you do not like worship, like I said, then you will not like heaven. Yeah, I will tell these people who don't want to come and worship, I say, why you want to go to heaven? Because that's what heaven is all about. Unless you love Christ, this is not what you want to do. What is our ultimate goal and purpose and desire? That heaven be visible so that we will be with our Lord Jesus Christ forever. Until then, we live out that reality as His church. Nothing legalistic about observing the Lord's Day. We want to do this because it is our greatest pleasure to live out the reality of our eternal home, heaven. We're not talking about legalistic obedience. We do this because we want to. On the sixth day, the food for the seventh day is given. Already given on the sixth day, as we have already seen, the manna points to Jesus Christ. The food of heaven is the food that comes down from heaven, and Jesus Christ is the bread that came down from heaven. That heavenly food is already given to us. In the New Old Testament, the seventh day food cannot be eaten on the sixth day. But you and I, we are able to eat the seventh day's food, Jesus Christ, even on the sixth day, every day. And the Lord's Day is the day in which we witness that we live by this heavenly food. We live by Jesus Christ. We witness that we do not live by the earthly things. We cannot work the works of this world on the Lord's Day. And this is our message. We do not live by the bread of this world, but we live by Christ. By not working, you witness that. You say to people, hey, I do not live by the works of this world. I live by Christ. The Israelites must not go out and gather manna on the Sunday, the Lord's Day. Now, before I go on, and which I'm trying to look at the clock, let me say this. Some people, they have to work. All right? So, you know, like doctors, firemen. I mean, you know, if you're a Christian fireman, you have to work. You can't say, oh, today is the Lord's Day, I cannot put out that fire. No, you got to put that fire out. So, if you're a fireman or you're a policeman, you have to work. If you are a doctor or nurse or pharmacist in the hospital, you have to work. But even then, you have to do your best not to work. Find someone else to replace you. But, you know, we're not going to bring charges upon you when you're fireman or policeman or doctor and you are working on Sunday. No. See, when that happens, it's only you who know that are you doing your best not to work, or are you just actually misusing the fact that you are fireman or policeman, but you're actual desire is, I don't want to observe Lord's Day. I mean, you know, we cannot tell from the outside, but God sees it. It's about the heart. You know, when you get up in the morning on Lord's Day, and if you realize your car doesn't have gas to come to church, then please go and buy gas. And come to church. Don't say, oh, it's Lord's Day, I cannot buy anything, so, you know. But as you do that, you repent of your sin. You repent that it will not happen again. And you go out by. It's about your heart. Do you call this Lord's Day a delight? And do you want to spend this day wholly for God? Is that your desire? Or you want to seek your own pleasure? That's what it is. But Christians, we love God more than anything. In this world, there is no eternal rest. No rest. It is a picture of the judgment of God. Of course, now in Christ, no rest in this world is no longer judgment of God for his children. Sweat and toil is the result of sin. But you and I, we are freed from sin. In heaven, there is no sweat and toil for us. We witness that reality by not working on this Lord's Day, which points to heavenly rest. We witness that reality is already accomplished. So we do so by not working on the Lord's Day. And the rest is what comes after the war. The war is over. Meaning that as we rest, Jesus Christ is victorious and he has entered that rest. That is what we witness also as we rest on the Lord's Day. There's so much message here. There is no rest for the sinners. There is no peace for the sinners. No rest. This is what the hell is all about. Revelation chapter 14, verse 11. And the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever. They have no rest day and night. Those who worship the beast and his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name. Do you see it? No rest. That is what hell is all about. So if you just work every single day, and even on Sunday, what are you talking? What are you? What is your message? What do you show by doing all that? You're showing the reality of hell. The purpose of our salvation is to enter the eternal rest. Jeremiah 31 verse 2, thus says the Lord, the people who survived the sword found grace in the wilderness, Israel, when it went to find its rest. That rest has been already accomplished by our Lord Jesus Christ. But in order for him to accomplish this rest, eternal rest, he, Jesus, was treated as the sinners who has no rest. Jesus says, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. He had to live a life without rest in this sinful world. He had to die on the cross, die the eternal death, a death without rest. Thus, in him, we have the eternal rest. Even when we live a life without rest in this world, we still have the eternal rest of heaven. Yes, we will not find eternal rest in this world, but spiritually, we already enjoy the eternal rest even now. And I will end with this. Hear what our Lord says to you. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Did you hear the last part? My yoke is easy and my burden is light. So when we say, observe the Lord's day, does that come to you as a heavy yoke, heavy burden? Or obeying the Lord is your greatest pleasure? Brothers and sisters in Christ, do you know this rest? Even as we worship, we witness how we are the active participant of that rest, how we are the possessor of that rest. On this New Testament Sabbath, the Lord's Day, let us witness that rest. And it's Lord's Day, not Lord's Hour. You know, some people think that we could just observe Lord's Hour. So 1 hour during worship, that's it. No, it's Lord's Day, 24 hours. You have to observe it wholly, the whole day. And please, during this Lord's Day, go out and witness the rest that Jesus Christ has already accomplished for you. And that rest, that heavenly rest, what do you do in that heavenly rest? Certainly not the works of the world. Certainly not sin. So you show that. Show who you are on this Lord's Day. With pride of heaven, show it. That I am the possessor of that eternal rest. That is why I live how I live. That's your message. Let us call this day a delight. You know, in the Old Testament, when you read Amos, these Israelites during Sabbath, they say, oh, I wish this day will pass so fast so that I could work next day. There's an actual verse that says that. Is it like that for you? Or do you call this Lord's Day a delight? Because this is the day that you, together with brothers and sisters, witness what Jesus Christ has accomplished for you. And it's about your heart. You know, let me compare these two persons, okay? One, he's working out there, but his heart is at the church. He really wants to obey God, but his situation doesn't allow him at this time. But he prays that God will change that. And his heart is in the church. He wishes he could be here worshiping with us. And there's another person who is here worshiping outwardly, but his heart is outside. He says, oh, I wish this is over very soon. I wish I could go out there and do all those worldly things. Do you understand? It's the issue of your heart. Just because you're here doesn't mean you're not really worshiping. What if your heart is out there right now? That you just do this because if you don't, you feel guilty. And if you don't, then you think that God's gonna, you know, punish you somehow. So you're afraid. Is that why you're here? Or is your delight to worship God and to observe His Lord's Day? Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, now and forever, rest in Christ. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We give You all the glory, honor, and power. We thank You that the Sabbath day is for Your people. That we may learn. That we may know. That we may believe. That we do not live by the bread of this world, but we live by Christ. Let us witness the heavenly rest that our Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished for us. We thank You, and we love You. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.